So, thank you all for joining me for my Mental Health and Me. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and mental health for me and the awareness of mental health is about sharing, talking, listening, and supporting each other. Not just in this month, but this highlights the issue of mental health within our society, within our own lives. So, when I said I was going to talk about my mental health, I'm very open about it. I speak about it quite a lot, because it's something that I had lived for years with the stigma and the shame of, the way I was feeling. And I believe that nobody else in the world was feeling like me, which is absolutely untrue. As we know now, there is so much awareness and so much support out there that, again, we keep the conversation going because, believe it or not, there still is stigma around mental health. There's still a lot of shame around mental health. And I always try to just say, look, it's me, it's you, it's your sister, brother, mother, father. There's lots of people that are going through mental health issues, and we all have mental health, every single one of us. Mental health is not just about our mind. Mental health affects us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I know that because I felt every single bit of it in my life. So, a little bit about my background. Up to the age of 24, I had suffered childhood sexual abuse. Domestic violence. I had brought that into my young adult life, and again, I had a failed marriage. I'd had a termination at a very young age, and I was suffering with huge and severe depression and anxiety. I didn't know they were the terms for it. I thought it was just because I wasn't able to speak about what had happened to me. I had kept these secrets within my own mind, and sharing them with anybody else, again in Ireland, going back in the 80s, was taboo. Nobody spoke about it. I didn't hear anybody speaking about it. So who was I to say it to? So with all of this going on within my own life, I believed that I was damaged. I believed that there was something extremely wrong with me. And that how could I tell anybody else? Because again, that fear of judgment and the shame that I carried, even guilt about the experiences that I had gone through in my life. So as a child, I didn't know any different, but as a young adult, why didn't I learn? Why didn't I know, to do things differently? Why couldn't I speak about this? Because again, I had been programmed and conditioned to believe that it was wrong, that you don't talk about this and you don't tell other people. So that led me, as I call it in my book, if you read my book, Someone Please Help Me, So I Did, which was published in 2018. I called the night the darkest night of my soul because I had got to a point where I had kept myself prisoner in my own mind. My body was extremely exhausted from carrying the weight of these burdens around at a very young age. And I had been living in fight or flight mode all of my life without ever realizing it. It was just normal to me. I was in survival mode. I can say all of this now, but going back at the time, I didn't understand any of that. I wasn't connected to myself. I was only connected to the fear, the shame, and the guilt. And this led me to that darkest night of my soul where I just thought, I can't go on any longer. I just can't do this. I was exhausted. My body was breaking down. I just wanted to curl up into a ball and die. I wanted to end my life. Realizing afterwards that it wasn't that I wanted to end my life, I just wanted the pain that I was carrying to end. There is a huge difference. So that is why now I speak so openly. For many people, they just don't know how to stop the pain that they are enduring. So you may see a person, as you would have seen me at 24 years of age, walking around and smiling, putting on the mask, going to work, going out with friends, all of those things. And people would turn around and say, "We never knew, Sharon. You never said anything. I never asked for help." And that is one of the biggest things now I say to people. Ask for support. Ask for help. You don't have to do this alone. I had learned from my programming and conditioning that I had to rely on myself, that I didn't believe there was anybody else that could save me or could help me. But if I was able to speak, if I had a voice to speak out, I could have asked and said, please help me. But I was afraid to. I was afraid that nobody would believe me and no one would listen to me. The fear overrode everything else. So from that fateful night of the darkest night of my soul, I obviously didn't go through with it. But I remember the next morning, and the realization was, okay, Sharon, so you didn't end your life, and you don't want to continue living the life that you've lived for 24 years. So what do you want to do? How are you going to live differently? And I had no idea. And I thought I was scared before this, but I was so petrified. I was petrified of how I was going to live. I did not want to exist any longer. I wanted to live a full and meaningful life. And I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know who I was without my past story. I was defined by it in my mind for years. Now I wanted to change that. Where I got that awareness from in that moment, I don't know. But I can tell you, for me, as a spiritual being in this human, life, I know that there was something deeper within me that was calling to me to not go through with the suicide attempt, to continue living, even though it was going to be hard to change the circumstances of my beliefs. I couldn't change the experiences. I could only change my reaction to them. So for anyone that's read my book, you'll know that I started practicing mindfulness. I didn't even know it was mindfulness at the time. I just started taking one step at a time, one day at a time. And if I could get through 1 hour, if I could get through 3 hours, and by the end of the day going to bed, I would really praise and appreciate myself for getting through that day. And that was the start of my mindfulness practice, which I went on to study, and now I teach and help other people with the practice. I started meditating, again, not knowing it was meditation. I just started sitting and connecting to myself. I connected in with my heart and I asked, what is it, Sharon, that you need right now? And for me, that was the biggest thing. Because I was afraid to go into that space. I was afraid to go into my heart space because there was so much pain and so much hurt. There was so much darkness carried within it. But I went through those dark tunnels. I went through the pain. I sat with the feelings. I sat with the memories. And I was compassionate and kind to myself because I treated myself like the little child that was so hurt, that was so lost, that was so scared. And I do that now with my clients, and I'll say our fear and our pain and our grief and all of those things that we don't want to sit with are like little babies that just want to be held, that want to be nurtured, that want to be loved. They want to be picked up and said and been told, it's okay. I've got you now. It's safe. It's all right. You can do the same if you love dogs or cats and you can pick up the little cat or the dog and cuddle them. Make a friend out of your fear, your sadness, and your grief because it's calling out to you. It's calling out for your love and attention. And when it gets so strong and so loud, it's because we haven't been listening to it. We've been trying to push it aside, avoiding whatever those emotions are that are coming up. There are signals. Our body's giving us these signals every day, and we're not listening because we've been conditioned maybe to, get on with it. Chin up, girl. Get on with it. No, we don't have to do that anymore. Now we can sit with it. And I always say, as an energy therapist, that nothing will come up that we are not strong enough to deal with. And I really believe on that night at 24 years of age that I didn't realize how resilient and strong I was because I had survived 24 years of the worst times of my life. And I didn't realize how strong I was. And if I could get through that, I knew then I could get through anything. But I had to keep choosing myself. I had to keep choosing to get up every day, to live the life I wanted to live in the way that I wanted to live it now. I was now creating a life that I wanted to live in and I wanted to love. And in turn, I started loving myself little by little more and more. I started creating who Sharon Fitzmaurice is now. I started creating a life where I worked towards what I wanted to do. And I didn't always know what that was. So I know many of my clients or groups and say, but you must have always known, Sharon. No, I didn't. I knew that the work that I was doing on myself, my own personal development, my own learning, I did everything like the Reiki and the clinical hypnotherapy and the mindfulness and the meditation to help myself first. And when it helped me, I knew that maybe I could help somebody else. So that's what I did. I went out and it's not that it just found me. I started saying, well, maybe I could just start up a small group. Maybe I could help a few people. And that group grew and grew and grew and grew into groups and grew into all of this. And then I decided I'd like to help people one to one. So again, whatever you're feeling right now, for those of you that are trying really hard, for those of you that are trying new things, for those of you that are trying to find a balance, for those of you trying to find peace, for those of you going through grief, for those of you trying to heal, for those of you that just feel sad today, and for those of you that you're just you right now. Stop trying and just allow yourself to be you. However you are, you're enough just as you are right now. You don't have to try for this moment. You just have to be you. Let's take a deep breath in, everybody. Just take a beautiful cleansing deep breath, hold it for a moment and then just let it go. How good does that feel? Just to stop carrying the burdens, the expectations, the having to be, and just allowing ourselves space in this moment and in the moments to come where we don't always have to be on. We don't always have to be, you know, shining and smiling, that we can just be ourselves and that it's okay. I'm not going around smiling and happy every single moment of the day. Ask my family. Ask my friends. Ask my groups that I work with. I'm really, honestly myself now. And however I feel, I honor that feeling. I don't try to push it aside. I sit with it. I ask it what it needs. I listen to it. And this way, I'm always learning about myself. I'm connecting in with the awareness of who I am in this moment. And that awareness changes over time. It doesn't stay the same. I have changed since that 24-year-old young woman. I changed when I had my first child. I changed when I had my second child. I changed when I lost my third child in 2004. Here I was doing so well. I had a beautiful little family. I was living in the country. I had done all of this work on myself. I should be so happy and so content. And losing my third child, my little girl, Annie, my whole world started falling apart. And then I started feeling guilty because I already had two beautiful and healthy children, a wonderful and caring husband. How could I be so selfish as to feel sad and to grieve this child when I already had two at home? Our grief comes in different ways. It shows up in different ways for all of us. The grief of my third child, Annie, brought me to a place where it actually unveiled or unlayered a deep-seated grief I had that was going back for years, when losing my sister, you know, she was only 28, Bonnie. It brought up that, it brought up the grief of my childhood. It brought up grief from so many things. And I always say that Annie gave me the gift of releasing more of the sadness and the anger and the resentment and the bitterness. She allowed me that gift in her passing. She's still with me, so present each and every day. I feel her. I feel her around me. My children know her. They know of her in our lives. Just because she's in spirit, she is still present with us. The same way my sister Bonnie is. You know, she was physically and mentally disabled, you know, but now I see her walking and talking. She's with me. She calls herself the gatekeeper for me because she allows me to bring in the energy I need to help myself and now to help the people that I work with. She's always been my angel in the corner, and I know she's with me, but still on a physical level, I had to go through the physical loss of her, the emotional loss. So no matter how much we know, how far we've come in our learning, how many degrees we have, you know, we still have to face these human experiences in our life. And that is normal. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. Grief will come, sadness will come, challenges will come, struggles will definitely come. But that doesn't mean that we have to fall down. We may fall down for a little while, but alongside our grief and our sadness, our challenges and our struggles, we also have joy and gratitude and blessings. And that's what I have learned, the biggest lesson of all. I can be sad, but I can also feel gratitude for what I have. I can feel pain, but I can also feel the love and support I have in my life. And now, as I sit here and I hear myself speaking, I'm smiling inside and I'm thinking of the little girl that I once was, that was so terrified, that had no voice. And last week, and my group, you know, or my newsletter subscribers will, you know I've sent this out already. With everything I've known, and I talk about visiting the mental, physical, emotional and spiritual rooms of our lives, of our energy every day, even just for a few minutes. So for me, the mental side of it is checking in with myself. How am I? How am I doing? How am I feeling? And what do I need? Emotionally, as the emotions arise, honoring them, sitting with them if I can, allowing myself to feel them, because emotions are energy in motion. They want to be seen, felt and heard, and then they will move on. So if you have been ignoring your emotional self, it's sitting there and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's when it starts shouting us and we get overwhelmed. Physically is where we're doing our exercise or our movement. That's why I have to come back to that one. And spiritually, what are my values? What do I value most in life? What do I want to share with others? And how can I do that in an authentic and honest and real way for myself and others? What are your values? What are your values in life? If you only started from that place, what do I value and who do I value in my life? But coming back to the physical, I had hurt my back some time ago. And as a result of that, I had stopped, you know, my hiking up the hills and doing my long walks. And my body started actually getting stiffer while I was trying to protect it. So when we were away visiting my brother the week before that, I did loads of walking with my husband, John. The sun was shining. I felt brilliant. I came back energized to Ireland. And not content to just stay and relax for a few more days before returning to work, I decided I would go power washing our tarmac. I love being outside. Again, it's metaphorical, clearing away the dirt. For me, it's that mindful presence, you know, letting it all go, using the water energy to cleanse and clear myself, the energy, all of that. And it wasn't the power washing. It was when I came in to bend over to change my sock that my back gave out. Yes, there and then, the shouts and roars out of my head you wouldn't hear anywhere. And my son came in to help me, and I couldn't straighten up. So I was flat on my back for a week. But something happened within the first few days. First of all, I had to take to the bed. I accepted that. But while I was laying there, all of a sudden I could hear the talk, the chatter in my mind. How could you be so stupid, Sharon? Why didn't you sit down? Why did you bend like that? Why did you go out and do the power washing? Why didn't you leave it? Now you're going to have to reschedule all your clients. You can't work with that group. You know, this is ridiculous. Why are you doing this? You've just let yourself down again. You know, you never listen. And this went on. And I sat and I listened without judgment. And I just thought, oh my God, this is the old negative chatter that one time used to take over my life. And again, even with all the work that I've done, it can slip in so easily. And it can take over if you allow it. So I listened to it for a few moments. And then I said, thank you for reminding me that I am not going to be so hard on myself any longer. I know that I haven't given my body, my physical energy, what it needed. And I pushed it a little bit too much. So now I'm aware of that. But I'm not going to be hard on myself. But what was so beautiful, as I had the awareness and the realization of the negative talk within me, I decided that I would just meditate on it. I would sit and I would lay down. I wasn't sitting, laying down, and just allow myself to let go of control. I couldn't control anything around me. The only thing I could control was keeping myself steady in the bed so my back could rest and restore and replenish. But during that stage, I asked that I would receive the deepest healing, not just on a physical level, but on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level. And wherever I needed to go within this energy space of healing, that I would go there freely and with acceptance. So as I was laying there, I suddenly realized or felt like I was underwater. And again, without analyzing it too much, but I thought, oh, there's the element of water. You know, the water is symbolic of our emotions, and I was underwater. So in that moment, I had a feeling of being under my emotions, being overwhelmed by it. But what was so beautiful was I could see the sun through the water. So I could feel the light and the warmth, the fire energy, and that was transformation. So I knew there was something going on energetically for me, and I surrendered completely to it. And I felt myself almost dropping energetically down to the depths of the dark ocean. And I wasn't afraid. I didn't feel like I was confined or drowning. I just felt myself dropping down, letting go, going deeper and deeper and deeper. And when I reached the depths of I don't know where, I found myself again energetically back in my mother, in my mother's womb. Again, I didn't analyze it too much. I allowed myself to be present in it, in the stillness. And in that stillness was a place of safety. And maybe the first time I had acknowledged being safe as a child, but had never felt it or been aware of it. So that was a beautiful feeling and that connection with my mother. And within moments, or what felt like moments, I was out and I was brought back to myself as a child of 7 or 8. And this child was sitting on the floor with a pain in her side. The pain was excruciating. And I know that really happened because my mother had to call the doctor. And that time we didn't call the doctor. You know, it was so expensive and it took them a while to come out. But it did take the doctor a while to come out. But by the time he came, the pain was gone. So here I was seeing my young self at 7 or 8, sitting on the floor holding her side. And as I acknowledged her, and I acknowledged whatever she was feeling, she could not express at the time. She didn't have the words to express the fear or the pain or the anguish she was going through in her life. And as I acknowledged her and I told her, I'm here now, suddenly it was like I, or her soul essence, was just catapulted up into the air, and it was a kaleidoscope of color and freedom. And I just heard, you're not trapped in her body anymore. It was just the most powerful experience. And I've had so many powerful experiences like that through my energy work, through my meditation, and even through my mindfulness. And all of it is because I allowed myself to connect in with what I was feeling. And I know for some of you may feel like I'm too scared to go there. You know, I can't deal with the pain. I can't deal with the memories or the trauma that I've endured in my life. I absolutely understand. Remember, I was there for many years, and it wasn't just I started working on myself and everything was fine. I still have little triggers. I still have things that, you know, grab my attention, but now I know I can sit with it and offer myself compassion and empathy, and to go back to those emotions and to hold them and say, I'm here now, I've got you. Don't be afraid to ask for support. Don't be afraid to speak or to write about them. Don't be afraid to go out there and find a therapist or a counselor in your local area and just call them up or email them and say, I don't know what to do. I need someone to talk to, but I'm not sure how. And just that's your first step. That's the first step for all of us. The first time that I found a counselor, she was a wonderful nun. I wasn't sure how I felt about that because I had nuns teaching me at school and wasn't always great. But the first nun I had, I remember she cursed when I told her about some of my experiences, not all of them, because I was still holding on to the secrets. But she cursed and she said about my abuser, that fucking bastard. And I remember just sitting back in shock because she was a nun. And I remember thinking, I like her. I'm going to get on with her. And she was so amazing. She just let me speak in my own time. The words that I wanted to say when I just wanted to sit there and cry, she allowed me that space. And that was one of the things I brought into my own practice, to create a safe and sacred space for anyone that trusts me or they have the courage or the bravery to take that step forward in their own healing or recovery. Creating a space, and we don't have to be therapists, counselors, or anything else to do that. We can create spaces within our own homes, within our own friendships. We can create space to just sit and listen to people. We don't have to fix them. We don't have to feel, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do when they're like that. You don't have to do anything. You just be present. Letting somebody know that you are there to listen, even if they can't find the words to speak, is enough. They know you're there, and when they're ready, they will share with you. And asking people, well, what's wrong with you? Why can't you talk about it? You know, I've been guilty of that with my own family. Maybe they don't have the words. Maybe they don't understand how to express what they are feeling. Allow them time and space. Just keep letting them know that you're there. Keep letting them know that you are, whenever they're ready, you will be here. And if they want you to help them in finding somebody to help them outside of the family or the friendship, you can support them through that also. So, for my mental health and me, and I don't say I am mental, I don't say my anxiety, my depression. It's part of something that I experienced in my life. And Michael Harding said, you know, that what maybe depression is reaching a point in our life where we no longer want to go on pretending. We no longer want to wear a mask. And we're going to come out the other side reborn as the person we now want to be. And not everyone is going to like you or love you. And that's okay, because what other people think of you is really none of your business. What you have to value are the people that love you for who you are, no matter what, even in the uncomfortable moments, for the people that support you and cheer you on and are there for you through thick and thin. They are your people. Stop looking outside to other people for validation or approval. You don't need it. You need to just come inside to yourself and know that you are enough. And when you start accepting that you're enough right now in this moment, that is the step from which you take the next step. And going that what I want in my life is a way of feeling. And when I can feel something like you have felt the sadness or the pain or the mental overwhelm, you'll know what you don't want to feel. But now it's allowing yourself to feel something else. And maybe there's a time in your life when you felt joy. Maybe there's a time in your life when you felt love. Go back to those moments. You know what the feeling is. Where do you feel it? What does it feel like in your body? Recognize it. Hold on to it. And this is what you want more of in your life. But with all of the joy and all of the love, we're still going to have the challenges and the struggles. And I picked out a lovely card today from Rumi's Gifts. I love this. And of course, the card was what I'm always talking about is the unknown. The unknown of, you know, where we're going to be, what will happen in our lives. And there is a fear in the unknown, but there's also a great joy and wonderment and curiosity, because who knows what blessings could grace us? Who knows what wonderful people could come into our lives? Who knows the joy that we could experience? Why do we always have to focus on the fear of the unknown? So in the midst of the ocean of love, the mind asks, "Where are you?" I cry, "I do not know. I do not know." "What path are you taking?" "I do not know. I do not know." "You are being led by the madness of love. How can you survive?" "I do not know. I do not know." "You should be afraid. You could die." The moon whispers, "It's okay not to know. You were born with wings to soar. The real question is, why do you remain huddled in your cage?" Now that really spoke to me, because as I said, I had held myself captive, a prisoner in my own mind for years, be through conditioning programming and the trauma that I experienced. But there was nobody holding me as an adult prisoner. I was holding myself. I was the only one with the key to unlocking myself out of that cage and freeing myself and allowing myself to fly. Of course, there was fear that I would fall flat on my face and that I would break down again. And yes, it did happen in 2004 when I lost my third child. I did fall apart, but not for as long. And this time I sought support and help. I said it out loud and people listened and people didn't judge me. And I really became a person that said, "It's okay to speak this out loud, Sharon. Just because you're doing this work doesn't mean that you have to be all together all the time." A few years later, with different things going on in my family, there was times when I felt knocked down. There was times when I felt, "Why the feck am I doing any of this work?" But on a spiritual level, I believe that the paths that I have taken in my life have brought me to where I am now, even the paths of my trauma and pain and grief, that they have been a foundation for me to grow on, a foundation that wasn't stable, but it's given me strength to grow. It's given me strength that I can step away from, that I can grow and build a brick here and there somewhere else. I look back to it now, and I look back to the child that I was, and I tell her, "Thank you. Thank you. You are the strong one. You are the one that got me to this moment. You are the one that fought to survive. You are the one that lay in the dark and knew that there was something better out there. You are the one that got me here." And to her, I am so grateful. She's my hero. She's the one that I thank every night. And then I look to myself and I'll say, "Well done, Sharon. You've done your best today." And that's all any of us can do. So to you out there listening to me, which I am so grateful to, simply asking yourself, what is it that I value in my own life? How do I feel in this moment? How do I want to feel? What one thing can I do for myself each day that's going to help me feel a little bit better? Do I need support? Who can I look to for support? Can I speak to somebody in my circle Who is that one person I know will listen to me? Stop trying so hard to be something you're not. Just be you, even with everything that's going on. Being yourself is the most amazing and authentic person you can be. You came in as this beautiful, bright being of light. It got a little bit clouded along the way for some of us, and there'll always be clouds and there'll always be challenges, but the sun will always rise every day as well. So I want to thank you all for listening to me. I hope that you and your mental health are good. And for me, it's just about taking some time every single day for those four rooms, mentally, emotionally, physically and spiritually. And yes, physically, I am looking after my back more and will be doing more to support it. But again, sometimes we're not aware of it until something falls down or breaks apart. So don't be too cross at anything that falls apart in your life. Just look at it. As people say, it's an opportunity to grow. Sometimes you want to say, well, fuck those opportunities. But anyway, here we are, and I am so grateful that you took the time to join me tonight. I'm not going to keep you for long. I would love to come back and do another live again sometime. But for anybody that would like to check out my guided meditations, they're free, or would you like to join our online community, because we're working on jumping into our best energy. And they're amazing because we're coming into a space of being ourselves, allowing ourselves just to be and saying whatever it is going on at that time. We meet twice a month, you know, so if you want to come online and join us, do. The links are all up in my bio and you can find out more about what's going on. But I'm so grateful and I'm so happy to be where I am today, because if I didn't go through all of that, if I didn't have the journey I was on, I wouldn't meet the most amazing people. I wouldn't have met my husband, John. I wouldn't have my children, Matthew and Scott. You know, life is actually wonderful. It's shitty at times, but it's still wonderful, you know. And I believe that spirits are always guiding us. Whether you believe in that or not, that doesn't matter. But that's what I believe. And I know because my sister and my daughter Annie are in spirit and they're very much around me. And I just sit and I just say thank you every day. You know, thank you. I am grateful. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm only seeing your comments now. I was really trying to focus and be aware of being present and sharing a little bit of my story so that people don't feel like, you know, mine is worse. Everybody's story is worse for them. Everybody, no matter whether you think it's big or small, it doesn't matter what you think. But if it's a problem for somebody, it's a problem for them. So to be more compassionate and to lend that listening ear without judgment and just say, I'm here for you. But you have to start with yourself saying you're here for you and check in with you, because you know what? You're worth it and you are all amazing. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you joining me. Thank you for all your wonderful comments. Loads of love. Thank you for all your hearts. And please do share this live. There's a little arrow there on the right-hand side. If you can share it, the recording will go out, you know, and maybe somebody you know could do with listening to it. Again, I thank you and have a wonderful evening, everybody. And I'll chat to you all again soon. Bye for now.